Hallelujah. Well, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. The book of Acts, chapter 19. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many of you know your life will never be the same? How many know God has still more in store for you? Amen. I had somebody say to me one day, you know, we should never pray that we get filled to overflowing because then we won't want any more of God. I'm like, I've never found that problem. I've never had that problem. I just, the more I get of Him, the more I want. And if I'm filled to overflowing, I want more. Hello. This is not like you're sitting down at a buffet table in the natural and you're eating at a buffet table in the natural. In the natural, you get full. And then you don't even want to see food. The best time to go shopping for food is right after a big meal. Because then nothing looks good. But if you go in hungry to a store, you buy everything that you shouldn't buy. Hello? But it's not, we're not talking about natural food. We're talking about spiritual food. And let me tell you what, I mean, how many times have we been filled and saturated to come right back to get filled and saturated again? To come right back to get more. To come right back to get more. Amen. You can never get enough of God. Well, I don't want to have too much tonight, brother, because, you know, you can get too much joy. I've heard people say you can actually be too happy. Really? So you could also be too depressed? Hello? I mean, depression is depression. Hello? I can't ask God, God, give me joy. Then when He gives me joy, not that much, Lord, just a little joy. Just a little joy will do, just a little bit. Not too much. Hello. You know, some of you need to have an encounter with God where for the next 3 to 4 days, you're just whacked out of your tree. That's really what you need. That encounter I had with God in Ketchikan, Alaska in 93, for 3 days, I didn't care about anything. I was so drunk and caught up in the Spirit, I mean, I didn't even want to eat food. Hello? That night, that Friday night that I got touched here in Calvary when my brother was in town, listen, Saturday afternoon, I tried to do something on Facebook, a live thing on Facebook, and I was out of it. I was still drunk from the night before. Hello. You know, they say that when you're in the world and you get drunk on something, that the next morning you should go drink that same thing again because it'll help you. You know this. What is the saying? The hair of the dog that bit you. Is that what it is? All right. He knows. Moses knows. I mean, I've never experienced that because I've never drunk in the world. But the bottom line is that's what they say. And I can tell you right now, when you've been drinking of the new wine on a night in a revival meeting, the next morning when you wake up, you just keep on drinking. Oh, you listen to me. You just keep on drinking. And then you keep on drinking through the day. Hello. You can never get enough. Come on now. Verse 11 says, and God wrought special miracles. Everybody say special miracles. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto him, brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. So listen to this carefully. Paul had handkerchiefs laid on his body, and then from those handkerchiefs were distributed, and miracles started happening through those handkerchiefs. So what's that all about? Well, let me tell you what it's about. It's about a point of contact. That's really what it's about. When the woman with the issue of blood pressed through to touch the hem of the garment of Jesus, it was a point of contact that when she touched Jesus' garment, she got healed. The cloth is only but a point of contact. Are you listening to me? It's like your voice can be a point of contact when you're on the phone with somebody and you begin to share the gospel of Jesus Christ or start to talk about revival and the anointing and the fire of God. Then on the other side of the phone, you're not touching them, you don't see them, but on the other side of the phone, you suddenly hear something going on. You go, what's happening? Oh, I feel the fire of God. Yeah, right now. How did they feel that? Because of that point of contact, because of your voice, because of the words you say. Jesus used words to heal people. Hello? You know, when I think about it, back in the 90s, when we traveled with my brother, actually a lot of stuff happened to me in Calvary. You know, I'm going to share this testimony with you, and I've shared this all over the nation. But I remember one night at Calvary Cathedral, it was about 11:30 at night, and pretty much everybody had gone home, and I was wrapping up the book table, and then I was heading down the one side corridor to get in my vehicle to go back to the hotel, and a gentleman came up to me, and he said, my son is in hospital, very, very sick. Doctors do not know what is going on with my son, have no clue. And he said, I need a miracle. And then he said to me, do you have a hanky that you can pray over and give it to me so I can go pray for my son? And I mean, I didn't have one. So I said, I don't have one, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to lay hands on you. And then you're going to go and lay hands on your son. So I laid hands on the man. The power of God knocked him on the floor. 11:30 at night. He's on the floor. I'm looking at him. He's on the floor. I'm out of here. I walk out the door and go off, get in the car and go home. So listen to this carefully. He comes back about 2-3 days later, and he shares this with me. He said, once you had prayed for me, I got up off the floor, and I went back to the hospital, and my son was lying in intensive care. My wife was sitting in a chair. She had already fallen asleep. He said, I walked into the room. I took off. He had a T-shirt on. I took off my T-shirt, and I threw it at my son. And he said, when I threw it at him, the power of God hit my son and filled the whole room. Glory of God was in the room. My wife sat up in the chair and went, I feel God's glory. What's going on? And then he shared what happened. Well, listen to this carefully. He said the next morning, now I'm talking about a little boy who was in intensive care. They'd had no clue what was going on. If they moved his arm, he would get sick. In the next morning, the little boy sat up in bed, grabbed the remote control and started to flip through the channels. And his dad said, what are you doing? He said, Daddy, he said, Jesus healed me in the night. And he said, I've got to hear a preacher preach. That's what he said. He said, Jesus healed me in the night, and I've got to hear a preacher preach. Within hours, he was out of his bed, running up and down the intensive care ward. Doctors were scratching their head, had no clue what was going on. They said, we don't know why he was here. Now we don't know why he's healed. We have no clue what's going on. So listen, we were in Calvary, 6 weeks at first round? So within that period of time, and I'm not sure where he came in those meetings, if it was in the second or third week, but listen, before the meetings were over at Calvary Cathedral, he came up to me one night and he said, let me introduce you. And his son was standing, the little boy was standing there with him. And he said, this is my little boy that was in the hospital that's been healed by the power of God. And then he pulled out a bill and he showed me the bill. He said, look at this. It's thousands of dollars. I mean, thousands of dollars. He said, let me show you. And he flipped through the days and he showed me the bills. And then when he got to that night where he walked in and he threw his T-shirt on his son, he said, look at this. He said, the next day, it was only down as observation. And he said, look at all these days. It was like another 7 days. Observation, observation, observation. No medication, no nothing. Just observing the kid. That's all they did. for the next 7 days I observed, and then said, no, take him home. There's nothing wrong with him. Hello? Oh, yeah, I was a gopher then at that time. I'd go for this and go for that, chase crazy people around the building and put out the book table. That's what I was doing, ushering. Hello? But when I laid hands on him, I had an expectation that the anointing of God would flow through me into him and touch his kid. Are you listening to me? Man had nothing to do with what God did then. We were just a carrier, but it wasn't, you know, nothing to do with us. Because we're not the healer. Jesus is the healer. Amen. Special miracles. I had a lady come up to me one meeting, and she had this packet, and it was about this thick. It was, I don't know, maybe 30 yards of material. I mean, just like a whole wad of material. Like a whole wad, a whole lot. I looked at it, and she stood in front of me, and she said, would you pray over this cloth and release the anointing into it? So that I can use this cloth over, you know, the period of time whenever I need it. I'm like, well, what do you mean? Use the cloth? I mean, that's like that could, you know, touch a nation. I said, what are you going to do with it? She said, I'm going to cut it up into pieces, put it in my kitchen drawer so that, you know, if ever during the day I need some joy, I can go take out a cloth and put it on me and get some joy. Or if I need a healing in my body. You know what I said to her? I said, no. I said, I can't do that. She said, why? I said, because here's what's going to happen. If I did that for you, then you'd be looking at the cloth instead of looking at Jesus. Hello? It's like buying a little tent, a little piece of A.A. Allen's tent. What am I going to become Jewish? What am I going to do with that little piece of tent? Stan, is it going to keep the rain off me? Is it going to carry an anointing on me? I mean, what am I going to do with a little piece of the tent? Hello? Are you with me? You understand what I'm talking about? So this lady wanted to have all this cloth cut up in a drawer so she could tap into the anointing at any time she needed. I'm like, you know what? You can tap into the anointing without a cloth. Amen. Now, if you told me there was somebody dying of cancer and we can pray over that cloth and send it, oh, I'd do that in a heartbeat. But not as a utility method, just as I need it for this or I need it for that or I need it for some joy. I write on the cloth, joy cloth, put it back in the drawer. Hello? If you go out to that foyer in our book table, we've got special cloths for special things. If you want joy, buy the joy cloth. If you want healing, buy the healing cloth. If you want financial provision, buy the financial provision. You see, I prayed over every cloth. Everyone has a specific anointing for specific things. And if you believe that, I've got some swamp land in Florida that I would love to sell you. It even has a bridge on it. It goes nowhere, but there's a bridge. Hello. It's like people looking for a quick fix, you know. Let me get a quick fix. If I can just have a quick fix in the drawer in my kitchen, that'd be great. Man, I was feeling a little depressed this morning. Grabbed my coffee, grabbed my muffin, and grabbed a cloth of joy. Slapped that on my forehead, drank down my coffee, ate my muffin, and I'm feeling good. It doesn't work like that. Hello? There's always somebody come along try to perfect the word, trying to make it like, you know, we could do this and have all these cloths for whatever reason. How about coming down and having a hand laid on your head? How about lifting your hands to heaven and just drinking of the new wine of the Holy Ghost? You can do that at home. Hello. In actual fact, it's essential that you learn how to drink at home. Drinking of the new wine of the Holy Ghost. It's essential that you know how to have the joy bubble out of your belly. Hello. I prayed a prayer one night in a church meeting, in a revival meeting. Somebody said to me, could we take that prayer and put it on your website? So whenever we needed the prayer to be prayed, we can go and click on that and then hear you praying over us. I'm like, why don't you pray yourself? Hello. Always looking for some kind of an aid. I have an aid. His name is the Holy Spirit. And He lives within me. And whatever I need at that particular moment, at that particular time, He gives it to me. Hello. I have a direct line and a direct link to heaven, to the throne room of grace. I get to talk to my Heavenly Father, the Creator of heaven and earth. Hello. We get to talk to Him directly. We even get to pray mysteries to Him through the Holy Spirit. Now you want a cloth? It's like the bottled water from the River Jordan. It's like the anointed water you can buy. Really? How did it get anointed? What did you anoint it with? So now you're telling me that this little bottle of oil, a bottle of water, when I drink it, this water is actually anointed. It's anointed water. It's like the wine that the priests drink. That's holy. Really? How did it get holy? The priest only slaps that wine down because he's wanting a little wine. Oh, you listen to me. It's the way they get their fix in front of people. It's holy. You can't have any. It's holy. Yeah. So holy make you drunk. Hello. We brought a special oil back from the Holy Land. Special. It's special oil. Listen, God used any oil. Amen. If you don't have any oil, you could go down to your truck and pull out the dipstick and grab a little oil off the dipstick and anoint somebody with that, and God will still bless that. Oh, you listen to me. It doesn't have to be special oil that has a scent to it from the Holy Land. Hallelujah. People always tend to spiritualize everything. Yeah. I'll give you this example. So, I think it was 95. My brother was over in Denver, Colorado, and so I flew in to go to one of his meetings, took some time off, went into one of his meetings, and they didn't have a pew in the church. They had those theater seats, you know, and those theater seats, they're great, but you have to align yourself when you sit down, especially when you're a little bit wider than the seat, and these were like, these seats must have been made by the Japanese because they were like little tiny seats. You know, it's like when you go to like Disney and all that, and then they have these things you ride in, and they're all minute, they're all tiny, and you're like, who designed this? Oh, the Japanese designed this. I'm like, they're tiny people. You know, design it so the American people can get into these things. Oh, you listen to me. you get in an airplane, you fly in the bulkhead seat. That bulkhead is the craziest thing out. You need to be about as thick as a pencil to sit in that seat. I'll put my one leg in it and like, how do I sit over you? Like, you know? I got into a plane one night and one day flying home after a revival meeting, and there were two ladies sitting one at the window and one on the aisle, and my seat was right in the middle. And it was about yay big. And I said to the stewardess, I said, please come over here. I said, look, that's my seat. I said, with all due respect, I ain't getting in the middle there. She said, listen, it's the plane is full. I'm like, oh, Jesus, help me. So I said to the ladies, I said, look, there's my seat in the middle. They all looked at me like, you got a problem? Listen, I never even used a seatbelt. I mean, I just dived into the middle seat, sat down. And I never even had to use a seatbelt. I just was there. Held my breath all the way to Tampa. I mean, what do? You want to go home to your family? Coming in. Anyway, so how did I get onto all that stuff? You people are distracting me. You need to stop distracting me. I'm trying to stay focused over here. So, okay, so Denver, Colorado. So here I am in Denver. So I sit down in a seat, and my wallet is in my back pocket, and my wallet gets caught on the armrest, Brother Charlie. And it rips my pants like a big hole. I mean, my whole pants is ripped open. Now I'm sitting on the front row, big hole in my pants, thinking to myself, oh my God, how am I even going to get out of here? So, you know, my brother Basil's here. Hey, Brother Basil, stand up. I'm like, no. Just get up and greet the people. I'm like, no. My pants is ripped. I can't get up. I just waved like, hello. So then he gets to the end of the message, and then he lines up everybody, and then he says to everybody, my brother Basil's going to come pray for everybody tonight. I'm thinking, your brother Basil got a big hole in his pants. This is not going to be good for a move of God. Are you listening to me? So he gets out, he comes off the platform. Like, I'm going, no, I'm just sitting there. I'm looking at him. So he gets up there, he says, come on, you got to pray for the people. I'm like, no, I've got a big hole in my pants. I ripped it on the seat as I sat down. So he goes, oh, no, well, we'll fix that. So he gets one of the cloths you use, you know, for the ladies, and he wraps this around me, and he ties a knot in it. So I've got this cloth. Looks like I'm in like a mini dress, you know. He says, all right, go pray for the people. I mean, there was probably 1,800 people in the building. So I'm laying hands on everybody into the, you know, a couple of hours later. Do you know what people said? They thought when Rodney said, I'm going to have my brother come and pray for the people, they thought he put a cloth around me like that because he was passing the mantle. Passing the mantle, and I look like I'm in a tutu. Come on. There had to be some spiritual meaning to that. I think Brother Rodney is passing the mantle to his brother. We've seen some funny stuff, bro. Funny stuff. We've heard some funny stuff over the years. I know it wasn't funny at the time, but it's funny now. Because it doesn't really have any effect on us. I was in a church in Seattle, Washington, having revival up in Seattle. And one of the head ushers came to me and said, he said, "Sir, we've got a problem." I said, "What's the problem?" He said, "There's a lady that's at the meeting that every time when you're done praying with the people and you leave to go back to the back, you know, room, she goes up there and she takes your glass that you've been drinking water out of. She goes and sits down in the front row. She begins to pray in the spirit. Then she begins to sip your water." I mean, I'm thinking the next meeting, right before I go to the back room, I'm going to go, we'll see how anointed that is. Now, I didn't do that. I just told the usher, I said, "Look, when I'm done, you pick it up, you take it back and throw it away." Hello. But she sit on the front row, just sipping away, praying in the spirit, glorifying God, and just drinking my water. I called her the water lady. That was her name, the water lady. Now, we had a few camp meetings around the nation, and she popped up every now and again. The water lady would show up in the meeting. After the meeting, I'd grab my bottle. I'd take it back with me. Hello? I mean, what? Well, it's just tap water, folks. It's just tap water. Why drink it? Hello? Maybe they thought she was getting some kind of an anointing. Germs, maybe, but no anointing. Hello? You remember that lady? I mean, if I had to tell you, and I'm not going to go, I'm going to quit this now and move on, but if I had to tell you some of the stuff that's happened to us over the years, you wouldn't believe it. You'd think I was lying.